Good morning. Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those joining us online from your own home. It is good to have you as part of the church family here in St. Ninian's Old. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 153, 153. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Let us pray. Faithful God, the wonder and beauty of your creation, the cycle of the seasons, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, the splendor of the sky, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, all speak to us of who you are, the one who reigns in majesty, and whose greatness no one can fathom. Almighty God, in the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our Savior. In Christ Jesus, your glory was revealed, and through him you made known your love. We worship you this new morning. God of grace and power, we praise your holy name. Lord God, we rejoice that your mercies are new every morning. We confess we have sinned against you and one another. We have belittled your love and betrayed your trust. We have taken so much for granted and been slow to consider how blessed we are. God of love and mercy, pardon our sins and guide us that we may reflect your love in our lives and be merciful in our dealings with others. Faithful God, you have promised to be with us in every experience of life. When we neglect you, remind us of your presence. When we are tempted, give us the power to resist. And when we are anxious and worried, give to us your peace. And all through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who unites us as the one people, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. The flower calendar is now in the main vestibule of the church. If you would like to give flowers to the church on a Sunday, please put your name and contact number against the Sunday of your choice. Likewise, if you're willing to read the Bible lesson on a Sunday morning, there's a list out there in the East Vestibule. If you could put your name and again a contact number on that, that would be appreciated. As we know, the Sunday Club has recommenced, but as is the case in many churches, numbers attending are low. It would be appreciated if you could spread the word about the Sunday Club and encourage families and children of primary school age to come along on a Sunday morning. The Sunday Club leaders have a varied and interesting program prepared and would be delighted to welcome new members. Every day in our lives, we come across signs. If you're in a car going along a road, there are signs that often tell you what the speed limit is. Or you might see a sign that tells you where there's a cycle lane or where it is safe for pedestrians to cross. Likewise, in school, you can see different signs, maybe indicating where a classroom is, or the library, or the dining room, or, importantly, the toilet. And likewise, you often see signs indicating where certain places are, like a petrol station or a hospital. Signs all have something in common. They point to something. One day Jesus went to a wedding in a place called Cana, and he was there with his family and his friends. But there was a bit of a disaster because they ran out of wine. And Mary, Jesus' mother, said to him, "Listen, you'll need to help. You'll need to do something to sort this." So Jesus said to the servants who were there, "Take these jars that you have and fill them with water. And then give some of it to the master of the house to taste." They did that. And when the master of the house tasted the water, he discovered it wasn't water at all. It was the finest wine. When Jesus performed that first miracle, he gave us a sign. The sign pointed to something. When Jesus revealed his power and glory by changing the water into wine, he revealed that he was different from everyone else, that he was very special. And a lot of the people who were there that day realized that, and we are told they believed in him. May we who know Jesus also believe in him. We sing the hymn 517, 517, "Fight the good fight with all your might." Now we turn to the Word of God and to John's account of that very special wedding. John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, page 79, page 79 in the Pew Bible. 2 days later, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also among the guests. The wine gave out, so Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine left." He answered, "This is no concern of mine. My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." There were 6 stone water jars standing near, of the kind used for Jewish rites of purification. Each held from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Now draw some off," he ordered, "and take it to the master of the feast." And they did so. The master tasted the water, now turned into wine, not knowing its source, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. He hailed the bridegroom and said, "Everyone else serves the best wine first, and the poorer only when the guests have drunk freely. But you have kept the best wine till now." So Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee the first of the signs which revealed his glory and led his disciples to believe in him. Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading of his own holy word. To his name be the glory and the praise. Let us pray. God of grace, we praise you for the generosity of your love, the awesomeness of your goodness, and the abundance of the gifts you give to us. We thank you that you came to us in Jesus, and that through the Holy Spirit, you reveal yourself daily to us. Open our eyes that we might see you. Open our ears that we might hear you. Open our hearts that we might love you more. Almighty God, at the wedding in Cana, our Lord changed water into wine. Transform the lives of all people, that turning again to you, we would know hope and not despair, love and not hatred, harmony and not strife. God of glory, we pray for our Queen in these days. Like any mother, she has her worries, but we know that she will draw great strength from her faith. So bless her and be with her. And we thank you, O God, for the exemplary example of leadership that she has displayed throughout her reign and continues to display in these challenging times. Gracious God, we pray for our country and those who are in authority. Grant to them, O God, a spirit of humility. Enable them to be honest and people of integrity, and guide them that fulfilling their duties to the best of their ability, they may prove themselves worthy of the position they hold within the nation. Gracious God, it was in an ordinary village and an ordinary home that Jesus first revealed his glory. May he reveal his glory to all who are in need, that those who are sick may be cared for, those who are lonely sustained, those who are oppressed strengthened, those who mourn comforted, and that those who are close to death may know the presence of the risen Lord. Almighty God, we pray for your church in this parish, in Scotland and throughout the world. As we enter the week of prayer for Christian unity, we praise you for the common bond you have given us in Christ. Help us to learn what it means to be your people, and grant that working together for your kingdom, we may grow and flourish to the glory of your most holy name. And all these things we ask and pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ is our light, hymn 336. I imagine a lot of people will have a story about a wedding where something went wrong or did not go quite to plan. I recall one I conducted many years ago in a church that has a very narrow aisle. The bride was, how can I put it, a wee bit large. And with her traditional wedding dress on, there was no way in which she could walk up the aisle arm in arm with her father. And so it was agreed that he would walk behind her up the aisle. He did. But every couple of seconds he stood in her dress, bringing her to an abrupt halt. Let's just say that by the time the bride arrived at the front of the church, she wasn't very happy. I also like to have a wee bit of fun myself at a wedding service, and quite often at the end of the opening hymn, before I switch my microphone on, I will say to the bride and groom, "Now, what's your names again?" The look of horror on their faces, which only, of course, I can see, is most amusing, for me at least. Earlier, we read about the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus, his mother, Mary, and the disciples were in attendance. Now, we should note that at that time, weddings were different to such events today. For example, a wedding normally lasted at least a week. And the guest list was not restricted to family and friends, but open to everyone in the village or town. So everyone in the area was invited. And the host had to ensure that everyone was provided for by way of food to eat and wine to drink. And thus, when at this particular wedding they ran out of wine, it was an absolute disaster. The host, well, he would be the talk of the village. And the wedding, it would be remembered, but for the wrong reason. And therefore, to protect the host's reputation, Mary asked Jesus to intervene. Even then, she knew that Jesus had great power. And John tells us that Jesus did intervene, and in so doing, he revealed his glory. There is a lot that one could say about this wedding, the first miracle that Jesus performed, but I will limit myself to 3 points as to why this particular miracle revealed Christ's glory and what it has to tell us about the way that Christ works today. Firstly, let me put this to you. We see God's glory in the ordinary. We observed a few weeks ago that John does not refer to Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. There's no mention of angels or shepherds or wise men. He simply wrote, "The Word became flesh." Flesh. This is an earthy, ordinary word. And this is the word John used to sum up the Christmas story. And we see this ordinariness continue with the wedding in Cana. Cana was a very ordinary village, about an afternoon's walk from Nazareth. The couple who were being married were no different from any other couple. And the fact they ran out of wine, well, could we not put that down to human error and bad planning? And yet the wonder of it all is, it was in that ordinary place and very ordinary situation that Jesus brought about a miracle, and through it, he revealed his glory. Now, that is great in itself. But what does it have to say to you and to me today? Can I put it to you? It tells us that Jesus comes to us also in the ordinary, everyday events of our lives. He is there in times of joy. I think it's great that Jesus was at the wedding. He would no doubt have had a laugh with the other guests. Perhaps he had a dance or two. Sometimes we forget this aspect of our Lord's life and ministry, don't we? But Jesus was there in a time of joy. He was happy for the bride and the groom. And that is why in our own times of joy, we also can be happy, because Jesus is there, the unseen guest, sharing in our joy. But we can say more than that. Not only does Jesus come to us in our times of joy, he comes to us in our times of worry and times of ordinary, everyday trouble. If Jesus helped in the context of a social mishap when the wine ran out, can we not with justification conclude there is nothing too small for him to care about? Be it concerns about our health or our employment or our family or a world situation. Be it concerns about one another. All these things matter to Jesus. He is concerned. The old hymn puts it well. Our fellow sufferer yet retains a fellow feeling of our pains, and still remembers in the skies his tears, his agonies and cries. God is the God of surprises, because it is often in the ordinary that we encounter him. Now, secondly, can I put it to you that we see God's glory in the transformation that took place? I recall being at a wedding in Edinburgh some years ago, and between the service and the meal, there was a magician entertaining the guests. I really was quite amused myself by some of the things that he did. But as I looked at him, I said to myself, I know you. You know, you get that feeling at times. But I couldn't work out how on earth I knew him, because I don't, after all, mix in the company of magicians all that often. Well, before the meal, as the magician went to leave the wedding venue, I had to go up to him. And quietly I says to him, I think I know you. Oh, he said, you do, Gary. I've serviced your car on a number of occasions. The magician was a mechanic, but he looked completely different out of his oil-stained boiler suit and in a smart dark suit and shirt and tie. It was quite a transformation. At the wedding in Cana, there was a great transformation. Jesus transformed water into wine. The long process of wine making was squeezed into a moment. What a transformation. But in this case, it was the work not of a magician, but of God himself. In his gospel, John gives us signs that have deeper meanings than might not initially be appreciated. That's the case here. John tells us the transformation, the change took place within pots used for ceremonial cleaning. The Jews were always washing their hands, not only before a meal which of course we should all do, but between courses, they would wash their hands again and again. This was a demand of the religion, and there were numerous other demands which were onerous and made life more of a burden for the people than the blessing it should be. Now, by using the stone water jars, Jesus gave a sign of what was to come. The stone jars that he had used could no longer be used for ritual cleaning in the eyes of the powers that be. And these rituals that hindered the people, well, Jesus said, they will be obsolete in God's kingdom. They will have no place. My friends, just as the wine was a gift from God to the host and the bride and groom, God has given us a gift. We are restored to a proper relationship with Him, not through ritual, not through obeying this law and that one, no. We are restored through Jesus Christ alone, Christ who died and rose again, Christ who washed our sins away, Christ who said, "The old is gone, the new has come." What a transformation. The slate is wiped clean. We start afresh with God, not through anything that we have done, but through what God in His grace has done. Isn't this good news? News to encourage us, to inspire us as we go forward in faith. Now, finally, very briefly, at the wedding in Cana, we see glory in abundance. John's very careful to give us detail about the stone water jars. They could hold 20 to 30 gallons. That means there must have been about 150 gallons of wine, certainly enough for a week-long wedding, and a lot to spare, surely, and store in the cellar. And as if that was not enough, there is more. The wine was not cheap plonk. It didn't taste like vinegar. It was the best of the best. What does that tell us? It tells us that here we have quality and we have quantity. Here there is an abundance which is a foretaste of things to come. God's faithfulness is steadfast. His goodness cannot be measured. His mercies are new every morning, and His love endures forever. Quality and quantity. When Marco Polo, the 13th century Venetian explorer, returned from China, no one believed his amazing stories. And when he lay dying, his friends urged him to retract his stories, but he wouldn't. Instead, he said, "I haven't told you half of what I have seen." St. Paul said, "Things beyond our seeing, things beyond our hearing, things beyond our imagining, have all been prepared by God for those who love Him. What a wedding that was in Cana. It truly was a wedding to remember. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 738, hymn 738. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Go in peace and in joy, and the blessing of our generous and giving God be upon you. The love and grace of Christ be with you, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit dwell within you, now and forevermore.